Back to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We read this last week, and I'm not going to read the whole thing again. But in 1 Timothy chapter 6, I want to talk to you again about the doctrine of God and what that doctrine is. Now notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. I'm interested in His doctrine. Last week we saw that it was His doctrine, it wasn't man's doctrine. And I want you to look with me, hang on to Timothy and turn over with me and go to I'm going to go back to Matthew and look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And notice Jesus Christ, and just because bring you up to speed of what we dealt with last week, He taught doctrine. And they were astonished at His doctrine. And notice in verse 28, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at His doctrine. Somebody asked, well, what is doctrine? What would doctrine be? I hear preachers say, well, you know, you preach too much doctrine. People don't need so much doctrine. They need that practical side of living. So I looked up the word doctrine just out of curiosity in the old 1828 Webster's Dictionary. And doctrine has to do, and as simple as this, it's whatever is taught. It's what's laid down to be truth. Well, if that's the case, and I have no reason to believe, every time somebody teaches, they're teaching it to be truth. Are they not? Then they are teaching doctrine. As simple as that. They're teaching doctrine. Every sermon is a doctrine. Every class is a doctrine. So doctrine is what is being taught to people for truth. And so Jehovah's Witness, they have their doctrine. They believe it to be true. They teach it as true. Jesus Christ taught truth. In fact, look in John chapter 17. In John 17, somebody would ask, well, what's truth? Well, John 17. Now, I'm just doing this. I want you to see just about doctrine. Notice what he says in verse 17. In John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. But when somebody preaches and teaches doctrine or preaches the Word of God, they're preaching doctrine. Now, the question is it God's doctrine? Is it sound doctrine? Is it healthy for you to believe it as truth? There's all kinds of doctrines in the world. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4. Notice what he says in verse, he gave pastors, teachers, and evangelists for the edifying of the body of Christ, verse 12, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Look in verse 1. Verse 14, that henceforth we be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Well, then there's all kinds of wind of doctrine, and they deceive people. In fact, look over in Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2. He says there in verse 2, he says, verse 8, Colossians 2, 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Notice in verse 22, let me go back and read verse 20. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why is they living in the world? Are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not. All these rules and regulations which are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Turn over to 1 Timothy. Again, look in chapter 4. I'm just trying to get you to see, folks, everything everybody believes is a doctrine. Do you realize an atheist, his doctrine is there is no God? He believes that to be true. He teaches that. Even they have doctrine. Everything you believe. Kevin, talking about evolution. Evolutionists, that's their doctrine. So you can't get around doctrine. The problem is the body of Christ today wants to mix it all up, and it's not wholesome words, it's not sound doctrine, it's not things that are more excellent for you as a member of the body of Christ. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of what? Of devils. Them devils is out there, and they're teaching doctrines. Well, who are these devils? Well, they're inside of people. Amen? And they're teaching these doctrines, and they're causing people to depart from the faith. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Then you find that God gave us pastors, teachers, and evangelists for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. What is the faith? The faith is that great body of truth that was given to the Apostle Paul to deliver to the body of Christ, and he fulfilled the Word of God, even the mystery for you that are in this building right now. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. All the Bible's for me, but it's not all to me as a sound doctrine. It's not all to me to live by. Jesus Christ taught doctrine. In fact, why don't you turn over to 1 John. In 1 John. Notice in 2 John first. 2 John. So, I have up here your basic book that you got. It's broken down. You have prophecy. And I'm going to come right here. You have mystery. Then you have prophecy. I'm going to put this over here like that. Prophecy. Jesus Christ taught doctrine. What was his teaching? Well, he began to preach the gospel in Matthew 4:17. He preached the gospel, told cities 12 out in Matthew 10. What did he tell them to preach? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then is the gospel of the kingdom. It would be over here, wouldn't it? And that was going to be at hand would be over here. So I have in prophecy, I have it about a kingdom. I have God promising Abraham land. I have in prophecy, God's going to give that land. I have over here in prophecy, I mean, you can just keep on, there's the throne of David. Over here, you're going to have the throne of David over here in prophecy. Literally, this is the little, this is over here, all of that in that Bible. And it's concerning a nation, one nation, the nation Israel. I mean, we just sung about that mansion in the sky. Didn't we not? Fillmore Cabin in the Corner of Glory. We sent a song. Well, you are not going to get it. I'm telling you, you're not going to get it. I'm amazed, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. If I go, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, I come again and receive you, that you may be where I am also. Jesus Christ speaking to the 12. You know what turns out? His Father's house is a temple. You know that God's in a city. Do you realize, according to Hebrews, that this nation back here, Abraham sought for what? A city. Do you realize over here that there's a city? In fact, before we go into that, look in 2 John. We're talking doctrine. We're talking truth. And look what he said in verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come into the flesh. This is a deceiver and antichrist. Anybody that tells you Jesus Christ didn't come in the flesh, or anybody that denies Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that's an antichrist. That's the spirit of antichrist. Every Muslim in the world is an antichrist. You understand, man? You realize Allah never died for those people? You know where the love is always demonstrated? In God so loved the world that He gave. God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You realize that Jesus Christ, the Son of Almighty God, God Almighty just shed His blood for you. He died for you. That's the only God in the world. Buddha never died for nobody. Allah never died for nobody. Their God don't love them. Say, boy, you make somebody mad. I don't really care. Look what he said. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresses, and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Now, folks, what is the doctrine of Christ? Well, look back in First John chapter 5. I'll go back to chapter 3. In 1 John chapter 3, notice in verse 22. And 1 John 3:22, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. Whereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit that which he hath given us. Well, you want to see that commandment? Turn back to John, Brother John, in John chapter 13. In John chapter 13, verse 34. John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this you love of one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And folks, that is the commandment, and Jesus Christ gave them commandments concerning this kingdom. He gave them the law of that kingdom in Matthew 5, 6, 7, and he said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall no wise enter it. That's doctrine. But it's not sound doctrine to you. It's not the doctrine of God. It's the doctrine of Christ. Should we love one another? While Paul said that the law is fulfilled in one word, and he said, thou shalt love thyself as thy neighbor. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. If I love you, I'm not going to treat you ill-favored. But listen, we don't love like this love is. They have a power that's given to them. You'll find that this prophecy prophesied of a time of Jacob's trouble called the tribulation. You come over here, you'll find that tribulation. You'll find it described in the book of Revelation. Has to do with the wrath of God back here, how the wrath's going to be poured out. You'll find it being poured out in the book of Revelation over here. You'll find, just backwards and forth, prophecy. But you know what you don't find through Genesis, through Malachi here? You don't find nothing about this. If I come over here, you have Acts of Apostles. That's what it is. Then you have Hebrews through Revelation. Now folks, that's why you have, when you go study the books that we're talking about, 1 John, the book of Hebrews, you'll find that these people can lose the Spirit of God. These people can lose their salvation. They have to endure to the end. They have to keep on believing. If they quit believing and turn from the truth, they will lose their salvation. But you can't lose yours. Why? You're sealed. You and the Lord, the foundation of the Lord, stand sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are His. He can never say to you, I never knew you. If you're in the body of Christ, He knows you as a member of the body of Christ. They can lose it. They're not saved like you're saved from wrath. They can get it. In fact, look in Hebrews. In Hebrews. Now, why am I doing all this? Well, when you see the difference in, you study the doctrine of God to the nation of Israel, it ain't hard to pick your doctrine out. Look in Hebrews. Notice in Hebrews chapter 9. In Hebrews chapter 10. Notice what he said in verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another, not provoking unto love and consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Now watch it. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. So what happens? If there's no more sacrifice for sin, and we willfully go on and disobey the Lord, and we turn, look what happened. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despises Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and done despite under the Spirit of grace. I mean, he doesn't count what Jesus did for him. He turns from it. You know what he's going to get? He's going to get the fire. Look over in chapter, let's go on verse 30, he said, for we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Come over to verse 37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come, will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Well, you know that's not church doctrine. You know that's not the doctrine for the body of Christ. God can never not have no pleasure in you. For him to have no pleasure in you would be for him to have no pleasure in Jesus Christ. And he said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Folks, Jesus Christ, where God has made us. God made him to be our righteousness. God made him to be our sanctification. We're sanctified in him. We're righteous in him. He's our wisdom. And folks, he's everything to us. Look on. He said, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Verse 39, but we are not of them who draw back under perdition, destruction, but to them that believe to the saving of the soul. Turn back to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4. For it is impossible for those who once enlightened, were once enlightened, and have tasted the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Now, man, they've had it all, haven't they? I mean, they've been partakers of the Holy Ghost, have they not? They've tasted the good, the heavenly gift. They have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. The powers of the world to come will be like the powers of the healing. I mean, the power of God. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. And he gives an example. For the earth, which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them, by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessings from God. In other words, the rain comes down, it's a blessing to all the earth. But that which beareth thorns, that's those that fall back, that's those that fall away. That they which bear thorns and briars is what? Rejected, and mine the cursed, whose end is to be burned. Why, folks, they get the advent fire of the Lord. Look over in chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12. Now, you can't read these passages and not believe that them people could lose what they've got. It's impossible to renew them again in repentance. If they fall away, they're going to get burned. They're going to be like the briars. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. And notice what he said in verse, verse 14, fall at peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Look in diligence, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. lest there be any fornicator and profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that after, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. And that's what them Israelites in the tribulation has got to guard against, selling their birthright, taking the mark of the beast, and falling away out from the truth, and going after the Antichrist or the world. And folks, they're going to have to stay together and love one another, and by loving one another, they're going to help one another and give to one another, and the nations that will help them will enter into that kingdom. Don't you understand? It's by works through faith. Not you. They sold the birthright as Esau, though he cried, he could not find no place of repentance. That's not doctrine for you. It's not the doctrine of God. Now back in Timothy. Now I plan to go through the book of Hebrews. I went through it verse by verse. And I'm sure there's more than what I picked out. But I got at over 40 references that cannot apply to a member of the body of Christ, and by those 40 references, no doubt, Paul could not have wrote, or had wrote, he couldn't have wrote it, the book of Hebrews, and been honest. I just read you some that the writer included himself in all. And people want to make Paul the author of the book of Hebrews, when he's the apostle of the Gentiles, and God gave him the sound doctrine for the body of Christ. Now look with me back in Timothy. And notice in 1 Timothy chapter 6, notice this doctrine. He said there in verse, I'm just going to go down through this. verse 3. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words. Now them wholesome words is sound words. There, it means to be wholesome is sound, it's healthy. Any man consent not, teach otherwise, and consent not to healthy, sound words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Now, hang on there and notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, people get all bent out of shape over that verse there, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let me show you what, notice what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3. Since you seek a proof of Christ, doing what? Speaking in me, which to you it is not weak, but is mighty in you. In other words, they really doubted it. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of who? Of the Lord. Look back in chapter 11. In chapter 11, verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. Turn with me to chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Verse 17, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into the remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere, in every church, the doctrine. Folks, you can't read all these things. It's the Lord speaking through Paul. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ are the wholesome words. It's the doctrine of God that's spoken through Paul, and he wrote them down in 13 books. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Notice in Colossians chapter 1, in verse 24, in Colossians 1:24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill, that word fulfill, to bring to completion the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generation, but now is made manifest to his saints. There ain't no doubt about it. Paul is given this mystery. This mystery has to do with the body of Christ. It has to do with saving Gentiles and Jews alike. Gentiles being those that are not in the covenants of promise. Jews alike and proselytes that were in the covenants of promise, and bring them together in one body and giving them one faith. They have one faith in that, and he's wrote it all down in 13 books covering the mystery on what God is doing today, is building a body of Christ to occupy the heavens out there someday, to fill them positions out that he needs filled out, and he ascended up far above all heavens that he might fill all things. And just as Christ is seated, he has the seat right beside the throne of God, the right hand of God. We're seated, put in positions out there in heavenly places, and thus God, that's your inheritance, and it's wrote down in Romans 2, Philemon. Now you might come down here and walk down that street of gold, and you might say, he's pretty good. Thank God I ain't cooped up yet. I ain't got what you say that. I'm sure the people in there that's going to want to be there. They're looking for it. In fact, look at Hebrews again. Now, folks, I'm wanting that doctrine of God. Where do we find it? Well, the doctrine of God for you today is godliness. Look, it's just so much that I... Look at Hebrews again. Look in chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And notice it goes down talking about Abraham. Verse 16. I'm going to go back and read verse 13. These all died in the faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them. In other words, they were convinced, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Verse 16, but now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for who? Now, them in the context is who? It would be the it'd be Israel, wouldn't it? Not it'd be those that are dying in the faith. Well, that would be the Old Testament saints, would it not be? Would that not be Abraham and all them? In fact, does it not say, look in verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a what? Huh? A city who hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That somewhere God told him about a city, didn't he? Well, I mean, Abraham didn't dream it, did he? Somewhere the Lord told him that there was a city. These Old Testament saints look for a city. Look in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Notice what he says there in I'm going to just jump right on in here, verse 21. So terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. That's Mount Sinai when he went up there to get the commandments. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood sprinkling and better things than that of Abel. There come the church of the birth. They're coming to the city. They're looking for a city. I found that. And you find that city in the book of Revelation. Has 12 foundations. 12 apostles on the names of the 12 apostles on the foundation. 12 gates of pearl. Israel. 12 nations, 12 sons, 12. Everything's geared on this earth to the nation Israel. They get the land. Blessed is the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. They get the land. They get the city, the throne. They get the kingdom. Why? Throne of David. It was promised to David and his heirs, Jesus Christ, the son of Abraham, the son of David. He's the rightful heir to the throne and to the land. They're going to get it, and it's going to be a city over there. The body of Christ is not born in... That's not your heaven. That's not your inheritance. Back in 1st... Timothy, and I'm going to close. Now, don't get all shook up. Paul wrote the book of Philippians, and he wrote 4 chapters in the book of Philippians. At the beginning of the 3rd chapter, he says, finally, brethren, he's halfway done. So I want you to see this. In chapter 6 again, notice what he says there. If any man teach otherwise, consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to what? Godliness. This doctrine is in accord. This doctrine is in accord. We have an accord. You all watch the pirate movies, and Jack Sparrow, he says, we have an accord. Agreement. This doctrine is in agreement. It's in accord with godliness. Now look what people think. Verse 5. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt mind, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. You know what? People today think that godliness has to do with gain. In other words, well, look what I've got. God has blessed me so much. And God, if God, you was right down there at Charity Bible Church, why would you not, God, not have more people there? And they rate your spirituality by what you have and think that that's godliness. You know what gain is to you? Gain to you is having the knowledge of the doctrine of God. That's great gain. If you know what the Lord's doing and know His doctrine, you're the richest person around this country and is content. Now, look back with me and look in chapter 3. In chapter 3, godliness. Verse 16, and without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. Now we have the doctrine that's according to godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, okay? We know Jesus Christ, He manifests God. But we're talking today now. How is God manifest in the flesh today? I can give you the references. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 talks about Christ being manifest through my flesh. He's manifest today through preaching. He's manifest today through your flesh. The only way the world knows anything about the Lord is through the ambassadors that are speaking for Him. And if they're not speaking for Him, then the world don't know. And that's why we have so much idolatry in this world. But look what he says. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles. Now that can't be Jesus' earthly ministry here. That can't be why he's on in the flesh. Believed on in the world? I doubt if the world believed on him before he was received up in the glory. He was preached to the, he was believed on in the world, he was preached unto the Gentiles, he was justified in the Spirit. You know who that's talking about? It's talking about the body of Christ. You know what the mystery of godliness is today? And you want to, you know, you want to receive? He was justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. The mystery of godliness today is God's body of Christ. Manifested Him through your body of flesh. You're justified in the Spirit. Angels will see you, seen of them. And one day you're going to be received up in the glory. And you have doctrine to you. And it's doctrine that's in accord with godliness. Thank you for being here, and we'll take off next week and go again.